Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Frednet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, our focus this morning. And two good friends in to talk Sunshine Baseball League and in baseball in general. Dennis Rapkins is here. Mike Zitz is here. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Ted. Thanks
good
for having
morning,
us.
Ted.
This is always a great conversation. Before we get into some baseball things, some Sunshine Baseball housekeeping, Mike. That the deadline to sign up for Sunshine Baseball is now May 15th.
That's right. We're starting the season about a month early in June. We had previously started in July. So we're starting with sign-ups earlier, and I think it's throwing some people off. They're not looking for it this early. So we're extending it to May 15th.
Mike, why don't you give just a little thumbnail about Sunshine Baseball League for the people who jump right in here with the name of the organization?
Well, Frednet's Sunshine Baseball League, powered by Rappahannock Electric, is our mission is primarily to help kids from low-income families and let them play for free. Mm-hmm. But we also, it's not, and that kind of sometimes makes people think that it's a bunch of kids who don't know how to play here, but it's a mix of players who are from low-income families. Some of them haven't played much, and also some really good players from travel teams, and players in between. You know, so it's a pretty good mix. And the at one point early on, I was wondering. I thought, oh God, these travel kids, are they gonna like resent the kids who have not played that much? And more often than not, they take them under their wings and help them, and it's really heartwarming. It's a really good feeling to go out there and see that.
Games are at over on off of Wicklow Drive, Sunshine Ballpark,
for 10 and under and 13 and under. Yeah, and for 18 and under, it's we're at Walker Grant Middle School, the field that James River High School uses to play its games.
It is, like you said, there are not summer baseball leagues like Sunshine Baseball League out there, and that's what makes this so unique, that you can play locally right here with a league like this.
Well, there aren't many, at least in our area, I don't think there is any other summer baseball league. It's got to the point that people tend to think of playing baseball in the spring and fall when it's cooler, but it is a summer game, and, you know, if it gets goes into too much of a hot situation, then we'll postpone games, but that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
And again, that's just a safety issue.
Precaution,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes, but baseball is a summer game. Yeah. It's the the history of baseball is just, you know, fascinating. Starting actually in the 18th century, of course, this predates Sunshine Baseball League, but starting with the adaptation of the game rounders, which was in Europe, and then in the 19th century, the development of baseball through the Civil War. But it's always from that period on, from the mid-19th century, it's been a summer game, and it's been played throughout the South and in areas where temperatures are very hot. And so in a way, Sunshine Baseball League is kind of a throwback to that era. And as we said, though, if temperatures get dangerously hot, then, as Mike said, that doesn't happen very often. But that's the only thing that stops the games being played in the summer.
The big thing that's really different about this league is that Doris Buffett and I started it together in 2015, at the same time that she started Germana's Todd Academy, which allows kids at local schools to start college as juniors and seniors in high school and graduate from college like a week or two before they graduate from high school. And then lots of them go on to get scholarships at places like Georgetown and William & Mary and UVA. That's a great program. At the same time, on a parallel track, we started the Sunshine Baseball League with help from Bill and Patty Lynch and other people on a foundation that built the field with Doris. She put up $1 million for the main field, which is AstroTurf, or I'm not going to call it that anymore, what do they call it? Artificial turf. And it's a beautiful field. And it's real. I mean, I wish I'd been able to play on a field like that when I was that age. Yeah, but so it's just really, really good feeling to go out there. And like I said, the mission is to help kids who need support, need to be mentored. But it's not all about that.
No, and it's the kids get great coaching, and they have such fun. It's fun to go out and watch them, because the games are very competitive, and the kids just have a ball and learn how to play ball.
Well, yeah, one of the things that's really, really good about it is you go out and see some kids and some teams that start the season not looking so good, and then you watch as the season progresses and they get better and better mm-hmm. and better. It's almost universal with our teams, and I don't think that's universal. Not the same everywhere.
Well, and the kids, so many kids learn how to play. Will learn in Sunshine Baseball League. Some of these kids will learn how to play. Others will hone their skills and then be able to continue on as they go up. I know some players that were in Sunshine Baseball that are right now playing high school baseball. And doing yeah. very well.
Well, what's also unique, the way, and again, so much credit goes to, Mike said, as he started in 2015.
10 years, can you believe it's been 10? Now, maybe, Mike, you know it's been 10. You probably maybe feel all 10 years.
And so many players who started at, the earliest age categories.
Yeah.
And then Mike has continued to expand the league up till now to include older teenagers in an 18-year-old category. And if you look around, not just locally, but throughout the country, you just don't see those kind of opportunities
no.
for kids at that age, late teens, to play in a summer baseball league that isn't centered around some sort of ultra-high-level high school play or something like that.
When we started out, kind of topping out at age 13, because that's the fields at Sunshine Ballpark are built for that. But then we expanded to 18 because I didn't want kids to age out. They're really enjoying. Part of the mission there is mentoring those kids, and they don't stop needing mentoring at 13. And people said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. There's, kids lose interest in baseball. You're not going to get enough players. That's our most popular division now.
Hmm.
It's like, yeah.
That's just stunning
yeah.
to hear. And as I said, people at the Major League Baseball, MLB, would be amazed to hear that. I guarantee it, because it's not just baseball, but all sports. There's a huge drop-off in participation at age 13. It's kind of like this is where the ceiling is. And to hear what Mike just said, it's something really different and special is happening right here.
And go out there to go out to the ballpark and to see all these kids out there playing and not looking at their phones, but being coached and playing baseball. It's fun.
Yeah, I've coaching has become the idea of just getting kids to go out and play catch without checking their text messages or. It's a whole different era
yeah.
of coaching now. But to go out to this field that hosts Sunshine Baseball League now is really the equivalent of for the age group of playing at Fred Nat Stadium. I mean, it's a fantastic atmosphere. There are announcers, and there's music,
mm-hmm.
and there's one thing to play the game, which is a lot of fun, but also to engage the players and the fans' emotions in that way. It's really a special atmosphere.
Quick break. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about FredNet Sunshine Baseball League powered by REC. To sign up, you can go to Facebook. I think, is that the easiest way?
FredNet's Sunshine Baseball League powered by REC Facebook page.
It has all the information on signing up.
Links, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And May 15th, the deadline, the season will start mid-June, which is a change this year. And we'll, again, talk more about that in the Sunshine Baseball League this morning with Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins here this morning as we talk FredNet Sunshine Baseball League powered by REC. Again, May 15th, the deadline to sign up. The season starts, as Mike mentioned, in mid-June this year, which is a little bit of a difference. But I guess with schools and everything, and it kind of fit with schools getting out early, and it gets kids into the season.
Yeah, well, we're trying to hit a sweet spot where, you know, that most of the schools, I think, in public schools end in late May now.
Yeah.
And you want to give families a chance to go on vacation. And sometimes they do during the season, like miss a week, but that's not our problem. But so you don't want it to be too close to the end of school. But it's the ideally, people have a chance like a week or two off. Then they start playing games, and then they finish before school starts. That's what we're shooting for.
So we usually talk about this. There usually are many options if people or businesses want to donate and become involved financially with what you're doing with Sunshine Baseball League.
Yeah, because we give out a good number of scholarships to families that couldn't afford, you know, to pay. It's $180 right now for like people who can afford it, which is actually pretty good deal, I think.
It's a huge deal when you're talking about getting a jersey and a hat and all that stuff.
But for what we have scholarships where it's like $35 for people who, you know, have need and or free if they can't do that. So we need to raise money to cover that, and we do. I think we do more of that than any, maybe. I don't want to say any other league in the country because you don't know that, but I know we do more with than anybody else in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would, in my experience and from what I've read, I think the generosity in that regard is unprecedented. And also in terms of the sponsors, you know, the names are read over the PA system of the sponsors before the start of the games, mm-hmm. and it's just a tremendous opportunity for local exposure.
Yeah, no, it's just.
And we have signage and on our website and social media, we mm-hmm. also talk up the sponsors. They even kind of do ads for the sponsors.
Well, again, this is as you said, Dennis. These kinds of opportunities aren't here, and to give kids the exposure to baseball or just the chance to hone your skills is a great opportunity. The coaches are all I've seen. I mean, there are a lot of really good coaches in this league too that spend their time on whether it's practices or the actual games. Teaching kids.
Right. The background, of course, the backbone of any nonprofit organization are the volunteers. And, you know, we vet the coaches as much as possible. And we are so fortunate to have some coaches that are just, you know, just go above and beyond mm-hmm. in terms of their commitment. But, you know, there are so many distractions for kids now, so many options, you know, some healthier than others, but, you know, I mean, here we are, it's spring is here, which means it's, you know, it's time to think baseball. You know, when I think of football, I think winter is coming, but you know, there's just a magic to baseball that is just I think, especially today with young people, we need to slow down mm-hmm. and Baseball is a deliberate game. It's a leisurely game, and even there are times of it's a one-on-one battle wrapped within a team concept, and introducing kids, getting them away from the idea that they need dopamine hits from social media, from their phones. I think it's really healthy, and Sunshine Baseball League bridges competitive play with the idea of really learning the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the whole, yes, every child, every youngster out there wants to win, but the idea is to improve. And as Mike said, over the course of the season, for some of these players, it's just amazing to see the level of improvement.
And it's fun. And it's, baseball is supposed to be fun, even at the major league level. It's supposed to be fun. And there are travel programs that are good, but I see too much of this attitude that it's about basically making money for the travel organizations and also getting scholarships or whatever. And it's painful. There's so much pressure, and there's one guy locally who on his Facebook page for his travel team says, when you turn 13 years old, baseball is a job. It's a job, and you're investing money in your kids so they get a scholarship or play pro ball. Well, what percentage of kids get scholarships and play pro ball?
Hardly any.
Very, very low percentage. So you're putting that pressure on kids and creating that mentality, and it's supposed to be fun. No matter what age you are, it's supposed to be fun, not work. So, and we get kids and families who play travel ball, and they say, and they come out sometimes with the attitude that, well, this is nothing, but they say that they have more fun doing this by far than travel baseball and traveling around to tournaments around the country and stuff. It's like work. That's too much like work, and this is fun.
Well, what does the umpire say when he starts the game? He or she starts the game.
Play ball.
Play ball, not work ball. So, yes, this is the goal, and I think it's achieved.
Well, and if you look at most pictures from Sunshine Baseball League, you see smiling faces and kids, both boys and girls, having fun. And there's some really good there have been some really good players over the years in the Sunshine Baseball League.
Like I said, and people might not have tuned in earlier, there are some kids who haven't played much, especially the ones from low-income families who couldn't afford travel ball for sure, but even some league fees. And I wonder, we also have some elite players or travel players. And I thought, are the travel players going to resent the ones who are learning? And it's been the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I got a story about that we'll tell when we're not near the end of a segment. But it's the opposite of that. And these travel kids take the younger kids and the less experienced kids under their arm, under their wing. And it's a wonderful thing.
If you're looking for something for your kids to do this summer, it's not too late. And that's why I'm glad we could do this before the deadline. It's something to look into. If you're looking for something for your kids to do this summer, that they're going to be outside, they're going to meet other kids, and it's for all kids.
And we also have a free clinic at the Fred Nats ballpark, at the stadium. And this year it's May 28th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it's run by Ernie Baker, the former St. Louis Cardinals organization player and coach. And he does a great job with it. And the kids have a lot of fun, and they learn stuff too about baseball.
There's that word again, fun.
And then June 13th, Sunshine Baseball League is teaming up with Major League Baseball for pitch, hit, and run also at the Fred Nats Stadium. And you can sign up for both of those by going to our Fred Nats Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, Facebook page. Learn about it there.
And sign up. Yes, there's information on in both. And when you've got the Fred, you got your kids playing baseball, they're going to want to go see some games. You've got the Fred Nats right there to see games. Baseball's on the rise.
Well, and you know, people who haven't been out to see the Fred Nats play or come to a Sunshine Baseball League, there's nothing like watching a baseball game in person. It's so much different than watching anything on TV. And when we were talking about fun, you know, a football is a very interesting sport in many ways, but it's really it's fueled by adrenaline and sometimes anger. Moderation is rarely what you're looking for in football. Baseball, for people who really don't understand, there's a balance between effort and control that is evident almost on every play. If you have one too much effort or too much control, it doesn't work out. And it's such a unique sport, and that way I think that's where the fun comes out, when you begin to understand that and put that into play.
10 years of Sunshine Baseball is pretty impressive, Mike. Over the years, there are a lot of kids now in the area that can point to, I played in that league at some point.
Yeah, and like I said, there are some players who couldn't play high school baseball, and they're getting a lot. I mean, everybody's enjoying this. They're having fun, pretty much everybody, but they're getting a lot of joy out of this, because it's a chance for them to excel at a game that they love. And you see those kids too, the ones who kind of were beaten down and think, I'm not good enough, blossoming, and that's really satisfying.
Yeah. I've told you my stories, my sad stories of not being very successful in baseball. If I'd only had Sunshine Baseball League and either of you as my coaches, I think you would have taken me under your wing.
And Ted, there's so many places to start with that, and I'm hoping we can plant this at least in your, while you're sleeping at night, in your dreams, that where you can go back. For example, we would find out what is your dominant eye. See, that's when you're teaching somebody to hit. That's something, the first thing you have to learn. And then, as I've told you before, we would teach you to bunt, and then we would teach you just being able to, as you advanced in the game, to be able to read spin. And every game has different levels, but baseball, you just keep peeling back the onion, and there are just layers within layers. There are so many things to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunshine Baseball League, Fred Nat, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. Again, May 15th is the deadline to sign up. Find out all kinds of information. Go to the Sunshine Baseball League Facebook page, and you'll see information on the clinics and signing up. Mike Zitz, Dennis Rapkins here this morning. We'll take a quick break and continue on. More to talk about on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC this morning with Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz. May 15th, the deadline. Go to FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, the Facebook page there for information on the league and signing up. May 15th, and there are a couple of clinics that we'll talk about too before we get out of here. We can't do a baseball FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC show without Mike's greatest story. It really does show
one of his many great stories.
He's got many great stories, but this one always goes to the front of the line. But it does show what some encouragement the kids can do, and this is what this league is really about, Mike.
Well, not the Sunshine Baseball League, but a parallel thing. There's a Challenger League there at the smaller field for kids with disabilities. And there was a kid who had showed promise in the Challenger division. That's not part of our league, but parallel. His parents came to me and said, do you think you could integrate him into the regular program? And I looked at him. He's got really good hand-eye coordination and reflexes and stuff. And I said, yeah, I think we can. But the kid was autistic. And the first game, I think the first inning, I'm coaching third base, and he strikes out. And I go into the dugout, go back in the dugout, and he's curled up on the floor in the fetal position. And I said, what's wrong, Alex? He says, I can't hit the ball. I can't hit the ball. I can't hit the ball. At the same time, my wife Lisa is sitting in the stands. It happens to be next to the dad there, and she's telling him, well, our son Jay has hit all these home runs, blah, blah, blah. And the dad is a really good guy, but he said, kind of jokingly, he said, yeah, I'm still waiting for my stud player and our family. And he said, my son will probably be on the bench all year. And Lisa told me that, and I said, I don't care if we win a game all season, that kid's going to get a hit. Mm-hmm. We're going to work with him. We had coaches who would come out early and work with him and throw to him in the batting cage and have him do fielding. He was an outfielder. And just worked with him, worked, and the kid just really tried hard. And about the third game, fourth game of the season, he gets his first hit. Then he starts getting hits here and there. You see his confidence growing. And the thing about it was, like I said before, we've got travel players. We have elite players. And you might think they'd say, what is this kid doing here? Instead, they were helping him a lot. Mm-hmm. And after the game, I'd give up game balls all the time. And every game out in the outfield after the game, these elite travel players who are really good kids would be pointing at him from behind and saying, give him a ball, give him a ball, give him a ball. So we started winning. And we got to the championship game as pretty much a heavy underdog. And Alex, his whole family is there, his aunts and uncles and grandparents. And he gets two hits in the championship game. It's like some kind of cheesy after-school movie or something. But he gets two hits in the championship game, and we win the game.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. Like I said, it's not all kids just learning to play the game, but there are a substantial number of those. And it's about helping kids and the kids helping each other. And it's just a really heartwarming thing. And like I said before, because we give out a lot of scholarships, we need donations from individuals and businesses. And you can call me at 540-846-5163 about that, or you can go to our friend at Sunshine Baseball League Facebook page, or to our sunshinebaseball.net webpage to see learn about sponsorship opportunities.
And that's where you can make a difference. If you can provide some money for this, and businesses and individuals do, but that's a great opportunity to really get involved.
And
it's something on the local
level. And I originally worked at the Freelance Star and then went into PR at Germanic Community College. And there's no better PR than people seeing you do good things in the community by supporting stuff like the Sunshine Baseball League. And we announce the sponsors of the games. We have signage. We do advertising for them on our social media and website. And if people see you supporting that, they think well of your business.
Oh, you've got so many people out at the ballpark for these games. It's a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun,
and it's hard to describe, and you don't see that around here as much. It's like when we talked about that, there aren't summer leagues like this.
Well, thanks to Doris Buffett, who donated $1 million to building the first field there, and Bill and Patty Lynch and Ron Holmes and Jeff Rouse and others. We've got a really great thing going there.
Yeah, you know,
it's like the field is incredible. Yeah, and it's a really good thing in the community.
Again, sunshinebaseball.net, or you can find out more information on the Sunshine Baseball League Facebook page. Has all the kinds of information on signing up and getting involved financially.
Yeah, so please do check us out and reach out to me either directly at 540-846-5163 or...
Can you say that a little slower?
Mike? I was just going to say, I've got the 540 part.
540-846-5163.
I gotcha. Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I thought it was my ears.
Germanic Community College has been very supportive, too. A lot of kids from our baseball program have gone into the parallel Todd Academy at Germana, mm-hmm. which allows kids to go from low-income families to go to college for free. And also helps them get scholarships at universities.
Well, and Dennis, you touched on this. When the league has been expanded to the older kids, and they play at Walker Grant, that gives kids it extends their. It was always too bad when they would kind of graduate out of Sunshine Baseball. Now you've got older kids can continue to play it.
Yeah, the. At Walker Grant, it's a 90-foot field. It's a bigger field, and it's that's part of the reason why kids dropping out of baseball, and as I said, other sports. It's an age thing more than anything else. But out of baseball, especially, you go to this bigger field at a certain age, and everything is just. To throw the ball from third base to first base, it's a whole new learning experience. Yeah. To run the bases, it's so different for a catcher to throw the ball down to second to try to catch a runner stealing, and then it's just a completely different experience. So to be able to make this possible for this age group to, as you're getting from the age from 13 to say 15 to 16 and on up, then that is the prime time when you're really able to handle the bigger field at a level that is just more appropriate for your growth. So this is just a fantastic opportunity. And by the way, I just have to say, the thought just came through my mind when I was mentioning the 90-foot bases, and I mentioned the history of baseball earlier, and we could do a whole show on that, and so I won't bore people with that now. But in 1845, the New York Knickerbockers rules decided in 1845 that there would be 90 feet between the bases. Mm-hmm. Now, think about the magic of that. Think about how many close plays in 2025 there are at first base.
Yeah.
What kind of coincidence is that 90 feet, which was decided upon in 1845, that has just been just the right distance? And I mean, it's just amazing. And then the pitching mound being 60 feet, 6 inches mm-hmm. from first base, that was before the curveball was developed or invented. It's like, how did they know that was the perfect distance to be able to throw that pitch to break just at the proper time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if this is the simulation or divine intervention or but it's really a magical thing that this came about.
It's
these
true.
Just so yes, and of course we're so grateful that the Knickerbocker rules were put into play rather than the Massachusetts rules, because the Massachusetts rules through the 19th century continued the idea that you put a player out by nailing him with the ball. Now, that is, we did that in the backyard as kids with a wiffle ball, right?
Yeah.
Between bases.
Or kickball.
Yes. So, yes, it's very fortuitous that things have ended up the way they have been.
Wow. Well, when you think about, all this does is says we're old, but you think years ago, not too many years ago,
19th century.
Well, when you think, yes, for the longest time in this area, the Orioles were your only baseball, and the Fredericksburg Giants. Let's not forget about the Fredericksburg Giants in the 80s that our very own Mike Zitz is behind. But you think about it, now you've got the Fred Nats, you've got the the Washington Nationals. You've got, you know, the Orioles. There are just so many more baseball opportunities.
So over the weekend, if anybody saw who is listening now, I think, you know, local fans, may, in addition to Fred Nats or Washington, probably Washington National fans, saw the game yesterday where the Nationals were down. I watched that game because I wanted to see Juan Soto play because he's just a, you know, a fabulous hitter, and he'll come around. The money he was paid, is that's a whole different subject. But to see in the first inning, the Fred Nats, they missed a routine foul ball to pop up to the first baseman in the foul line because the wind blew it and weird things happened. The center fielder or one of the outfielders threw to third base, and the third baseman didn't get in front of the ball fundamentally. He tried to backhand it off to the side. The ball got by, and the ball went in the dugout. The Nationals pitcher, who is their best pitcher, who went into the game top 10 in ERA, just couldn't find the strike zone. He's a field pitcher. He relies on command. Everything went wrong in the first inning. You're just thinking, oh, this is one of those games out of 162 that is just not going their way. They get down early by 6 runs, and they're down, you know, 7-1. They come back, and they tie the game in the 7-7. One of the ways they tied the game, Soto loses a ball in the sun in right field, and that's part of baseball. Day baseball is still played, losing balls in the sun. That's happened since we were children. I lost many balls in the sun and in the lights at night. The point is, the Nats come back to win the game against the team with the best record in baseball. Even at the highest level, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, the Orioles used to be the game in town. We used to travel up to Baltimore, and that was, you know, I'll never forget the 1988 season. There was magical. The same deal, this team without talent, had Frank Robinson as the manager, came almost beat Toronto, who went on to win the World Series. Yeah. And it's so great now to have the Fred Nats here and the Washington Nationals in the nation's capital.
Well, in baseball itself has seen an increased interest, I think, nationally. Whether it's some of it's the rule changes, and I still, when the 10th inning rolls around, it's the one rule that I guess it's never going away. Okay. But I can't stand it.
Let's think about it. First of all, as you said, Ted, as Mark Twain said, baseball's death has been greatly exaggerated in however terms you want to put that. In terms of attendance and TV revenue, it's amazing, and demographics. I mean, old guys like us are really thought to be the heart of, you know, the fan base, but that has increased. But just one thing on this, I was thinking about this. A pitcher can throw a perfect game through 10 innings and still lose thanks to the 10th inning ghost runner rule. In other words, 9 innings, 27 up, batters up, 27 batters down, 10th inning, you've got that mascot runner, I mean, the ghost runner on second base, and the next batter grounds, hits a ground ball to the second baseman, the runner advances to third, for one out, the next batter up hits a fly ball to right field, the runner tags on second, goes to third, and then the pitcher strikes the next batter out. 30 batters up, 30 batters down, the home team, the pitcher's team, comes to bat, bottom of the 10th inning, and they don't score a run, and you lose a game. So, to me, that's the case I want to make to MLB to get rid of that.
I think you just came up with a good, really good twist in having the mascot be the runner on second base at extra innings.
Well, that's what it's like. It's clownish.
You can have one of those run racing hot dogs be.
For one of those, yes. No, that's a great point. One of these days that'll happen, if it hasn't already happened.
Right. Well, you know, the team in Savannah, where if you catch a foul ball, the batter is out. I mean, there are we don't need gimmicks at the major league level, and the average extra inning game only went to 11 innings anyway. So there's no reason to do this mascot runner, ghost runner situation.
The clock has been wildly successful. It has kept the game moving, and I was unsure about that, but it has really worked.
Yeah, that didn't seem like a great idea in the beginning, but it really is. Yeah.
Especially,
I thought it was a great idea from the beginning because the idea it returned the game to the game it used to be.
Yes, when you started looking at games in the 70s. Right. And even the early 80s is of how they timed what was.
The thing to me that caused doubts was, how is it going to put more pressure on the pitcher? How is it going to distract the pitcher? And like the Giants, Camilo Duval, he had a hard time with it in the beginning. But everybody seems to have adjusted to it well. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It really shouldn't be an issue. And when you give. Especially the way pitching has evolved now, where you throw as hard as you can for, you're lucky if a starter goes five, maybe six innings, you throw as hard as you can. Of course, they were going to take more time between pitches when the game had evolved that way, away from the Greg Maddux sort of command, control, pitch to contact. And, you know, there are things I'd love to see about baseball change that aren't gimmicky. I would like to see the strike zone reduced a bit to force pitchers to throw more to the middle of the plate to see more contact hitting. I would love to see that. I would love to see the mound reduced from 10 inches to 5 inches in height. We went from 15 to 10 in 1968.
Yeah.
After the Tigers won the World Series, right, Ted?
That's right. Absolutely.
I would love to see that again. But the trouble is, I don't know how we get away with this enthrallment with home runs are great. But again, I love baseball where the ball is hitting the gaps. I love to see triples. I love to see doubles. I love to see the outfielders making relay throws. And I still don't know what to do as long as the biggest salaries are going to be paid for the home run ball. When you've got people, Aaron Judge is a great hitter, but he strikes out 28% of the time. Willie Mays struck out 12% of the time. Reggie Jackson, 22%. Mickey Mantle, like 15%. I don't want to see batters going up there swinging for the fences and see these strikeout numbers.
Well, I think one of the trends I've seen this season is going away from all or nothing. It's okay to strike out three times a game. Kind of, I'm seeing more going to the opposite field.
The statistics don't show that. Mm-hmm. You maybe see certain batters playing to what their strength, but last year the major league batting average was .243, the lowest since, again, 1968, and that's what
also keep in mind, people talk about Babe Ruth and other people from that era, and the average fastball then was probably in the low 80s, you know, and now they're seeing fastballs 98, 99 routinely. So
shrink the strike zone, and then you'll force them to.
Great conversation. We need to continue this another time. Quick break. We're going to wrap it up. Fred Nat, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC with Mike and Dennis when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is almost time to get out of here. The Fred Nat Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, Mike Zitz. May 15th is the deadline to sign up. You can do that. Just go to the Fred Nat Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, Facebook page to sign up and get more information, and also financially for businesses or individuals.
And also to sunshinebaseball.net, our website. You can also call me for information on the league playing and also sponsorship opportunities at 540-846-5163. 540-846-5163.
Great league, as we have said. And again, May 15th, the deadline to sign up. So take a look at it. Get your kids involved. Talk about it with some. Maybe they want to play with some of their neighborhood friends. And we didn't even get into the next time. We'll talk about some of the other just the wide outreach that you have had. But again, May 15th, the deadline for the FredNet Sunshine Baseball League powered by REC. Mike Zitz, Dennis Rapkins, thanks. We'll talk
thanks,
again
Ted.
Soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.